Okay, so we're beginning with Masechta Ksubos. Hello. The Rambam discusses the reason for the order of the Masechta in Nashim. When you get down to it, you would think first you should have a Masechta about the basic halachas of marriage, Kiddushin, Ksubos, and then maybe afterwards have Yevamos. So Rambam discusses the idea that the Yevamos comes first because it's something you have to do. There's no, when it comes to marriage, to an ordinary marriage, there's no, nothing you have to marry this particular woman, but in the case of Yevam, there is. And therefore that comes first before that comes ahead of Ksubos. Then the Rambam discusses that for then, the next logical thing is Ksubos, which is talking about the actual marriage. Kiddushin, which is talking about the first stage of marriage, by rights, should come earlier when the Rambam says that it was put after Gittin because of the Yatsa of a Haisa, because the Pasuk teaches us about Gerushin, and from it we learn the dinim of Kiddushin. But apparently what the Rambam figures is since Yibum is the final stage of that kind of marriage when it comes to Yibum, Ksubos is the final stage of a regular marriage, so therefore it makes sense they go one after the other.
Why
don't you do this, right? So that's what Rambam says, because Yevamos is something more you're required to do. You're required, when you have a Yevama, you're required to do Yibum or Chalitza with her. Ksubos, you're not required to marry a particular woman. Having said all that, Reuven Margolius gives a somewhat more balabatish explanation. He says that in general, in pretty much all the Sedarim of Mishnayos, you find that the Masechtas are arranged from largest to smallest. So Yevamos has 16 Perakim, Ksubos has 13. Therefore, the order.
And how many Perakim does
Ksubos have? Ksubos has 13. Yeah. Now, 110 block will be on it until Shavuot, Be'ezus Hashem.
Oh, boy.
It's actually brought in Sfarim that there's an Indian to learn Ksubos on Shavuot because the Torah is or Ksubos with the Avishter, so, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Kala.
Yeah. Appropriately. Right. The Kala is up. Uh-huh. The Kala is up, which the Mishnah begins, B'sula nisas l'yom ravi, B'sula gets married on Wednesday, and we'll talk about in the Gemara why. It's a Tachanas Chachamim, Rashi says, that a B'sula should get married dafka on Wednesday. V'amana l'yom ha-chamishi, and an Amana should get married on Thursday. Why? Today we don't, for reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. Wait. Shepamayim b'shabbos bati dinin yoshim b'ayoris, because there's 2 days a week when the Bat Dinim sit in the large cities, Vayim HaSheni, Vayim HaChamishi, Monday and Thursday. We learned back in Megillah that was why the Chachamim allowed for the Bnei HaKfarim to hear the Megillah on Monday or Thursday before Purim, because that's when they come into town for the market and to hear have their Din Torahs heard. Shem Hoyle, Tainas Psulim, this way, if the husband has a Taina, that his wife is not a Basula. Hoyim Mashkim Abaisdin, that he could get up first thing in the morning and go to Basdin. Now, so Rashi explains what we need to make such a takana. Why is it important that after the next morning he should be going to Beis Din? The thing is like this. If the husband is claiming, and we're going to go through it extensively in the Gemara over the next week, what exactly we mean by Tainus Psulim, but there's a few possibilities. If he finds, when he does the Be'ilas Mitzvah with her, he finds that she's not a Psula. So there's a lot of possibilities. One of the possibilities is that she was actually Mizana after they did the Kiddushin and before the Nisuin, which would make her also to him. That's not necessarily the case, but nevertheless, Rashi says we want him to come to Beis Din as soon as possible because that way, if there are Edim, that in fact it took place between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, Edim will come and we'll be able to and we'll find out indeed that she's also to him and he won't stay married to her Be'isur.
What happens if there's no Edim?
If there's no Edim, there's no Edim, but at least like this, he comes the next morning. So his kaina is that I didn't find her a Basula. Now, there's a lot of possibilities. So it could be that she was Mizana after the Kiddushin, but it could be that she was Mizana before the Kiddushin. It could be it was not Znus at all. It could be it was an Onus. Could even be, as we'll talk about in the Gemara, could even be Mukas 8, that she had an injury.
Why don't we take
this
to the Gozazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazaz
we know is he found her not a basula. He doesn't know the reason why she's not a basula. Okay, he doesn't know the underlying cause. Is it mukas eitz? Is it oynes? Is it was it berotzen? He doesn't know these things.
Who do you believe?
It's not a question of who do you believe. He's giving a tainus psulim. We want to find out, when did this happen? If it happened after the kiddushin, she will be offered to him. Kashem shasur labao, kachasur labayo.
Yeah, but then what happens if you can't find out?
If you can't find out, then we'll deal with it in the Gemara over the next few days. We'll get there. Yeah. This psulim is sasli emirvi, by the way, it's brought in many places in Chassidus, based on it goes back to the Shalach Kaddish, that the initials of Basul and Nisas, the Yom Revi, spell out, well, with the letters rearranged, Levana, And therefore, there's a deeper connection between this idea that a besulah gets married on Wednesday and the fact that they've actually created the Shnam or Eretz HaGolem, the sun and the moon, on that day.
Uh-huh.
In particular, there's the famous thing that we all know, that the Eretz originally created them the same size, and the moon had to become smaller. So that reflects the different stages of the relationship between us and the Eretz. Right now we're in the moon stage, sometimes bigger, sometimes smaller, like the moon. And therefore, Besula Nisaf L'Yemer Vi is expressing the idea that the Besula will eventually be Niset, we will eventually have the Nisurian with the Eibishter, where right now we all have it since Matan Torah, or we have it the Kiddushin, and that's connected with the fact that we say in Kiddush Levana, via or Levana Karachama, that the moon, the Lamalus Begimas Levana Vlaya Boshumir, that reduction of the Levana won't exist anymore. And therefore that's a deeper reason why the soul of Dafka gets married on Wednesday. So the Gemara starts out, Omer of Yosef, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Mipnei Ma Omer Besula Nisaf L'Yom Rivi. Why did the Chachamim say that a Besula gets married on Wednesday? Now there's a couple of different ways of explaining this question and the answer that the Gemara is going to give on it. One way of looking at it is the Gemara is asking what's the real reason, basically. You know, we had a reason in the Mishnah because next day the Beis Din is sitting.
Right, yeah.
But if it was only that, she could just as well get married on Sunday. The Beis Din sits Monday. We have to figure out why Davka Wednesday, why not any other day? Or Tosfos says that the question is not really why Davka Wednesday. The question really is, Mipnei Ma Omru, in what connection, why is it Negeya LaHalacha for us to say that a Besula can only get married on Wednesday? What's a Nafkamina, basically? And if a person gets married on the other day, they're doing something wrong? So according to that, then the Gemara will answer that, yes, there is the Chamim were Makbid, it should Davka be on Wednesday, no other day. And therefore, yes, if you do it another day, then you're doing the wrong thing. So again, like you said, we don't do that nowadays. We'll talk about that later as we go through the sugyas on this first Mishnah. So, Lefisha Shanenu, we learn a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Now, we learned in Yuvamos that when a Kohen is Mekadosh, a woman, Midaraisa, she's allowed to eat Truma. At that point, we said midrabanan, she's not allowed to, and we gave two different reasons for it. One being that we don't want her to accidentally give truma to her family while she's still back home with them, and the other reason is because he might end up being mevatel the kedushin if it turns out that there was a mum or something that he didn't know about. But the Mishnah said,
but a kohen, he married a kohen, that goes under the chuppah or.
No. So midaraisa, kiddushin is enough. She's already kinyan kasboy. She was acquired with his money because one of the. And midaraisa should be able to eat truma at that point. Midrabanan not. So the Mishnah talks about like this. Normally in those days, they had a long time between kiddushin and nisuin, usually a year. We'll learn later in the Masechta that usually they would give a year for them for her to get together all the stuff she needs for her wedding and for them to set up their house, etc. So. He giazman, the Mishnah says later in the Masechta, that when the 12 months are up, v'loy nisu, and they have not yet gotten married, oichlis mishaloy, at that point, the kala already is entitled to be supported by her husband, even though they're not married yet, and we'll talk about in the Gemara soon what the circumstances are, v'oichlis v'truma, and midaraisa, they would be able to, she'd be able to eat truma.
Well, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Whose fault is it they didn't have it a year?
We'll find out soon. Wait. We'll find out whose fault it was or whether it was anybody's fault. Relax. So, given that Mishnah, so you would think if the year happens to be up on Sunday, maybe he's already required to give her food based on this Mishnah. That is why our Mishnah specifically says that the wedding has to take place on Wednesday. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, if the year is up, if the 1 year anniversary of their kiddushin comes out on Sunday or Rav Ashkenaz any other day of the week except Wednesday, we don't say it's his fault that they're not getting married. Therefore, he's already responsible to start supporting her. No, it's not his fault because the Tikkunes Chachamim is preventing him from getting married any earlier than Wednesday. Amr Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef himself is the one who said this, who quoted this in the name of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. But Rabbi Yosef himself says on this, Moreh d'Avram, God of Avram, it's like an expression of surprise. Tomei al divrei Rabbi, Toli Tanya b'deloi Tanya. How is it that we're making what it says in our Mishnah, which our Mishnah gives a clear reason why the marriage is on Wednesday because Beis Din sits on Thursday. Why are we making that depend on something d'loi Tanya that it doesn't explicitly say in that other Mishnah? What are we saying? In other words, that Mishnah explains the reason for ours. It seems the other way around. Now, how? Well, Rabbi Yosef himself said this. So what is he? What is he asking about? So Rashi says two possibilities. One is that he, at first he said it, and then later on he thought, you know what, Taka, why does Shmuel say such a thing? It's very odd. Or the second thing, we know from throughout Shas that there came a point where Rabbi Yosef became very sick and forgot all his learning, and Abaya and his other Talmidim had to remind him of it. So now now when he's thinking it over, what he had said, he realizes, you know what, the way I said it, it sounds very garbled, sounds very confused. So the question is, what? Hey Tanya Bahe Lai Tanya, Ha Tanya Bahal Tanya. What do you mean one says and one doesn't say? They're both Mishnayas. What do you mean one says more explicitly than the other? Ella, what he means is the question is Tali Tanya de Mefarish Taima, but Tanya de Loy Mefarish Taima. Our Mishnah gives a reason why to get married on Wednesday. That one doesn't say anything about a reason. It just says Yigiyaz Manvalay Nisu Oichos Betruma. So why are we saying that Mishnah explains the reason for our Mishnah? And then according to Tosfos' explanation that the original question was what's the nafkamina, why it's important to know that they have to get married on Wednesday, then the question is, our Mishnah gives an explicit nafkamina. Okay. You need to get married on Wednesday in order that if you have a tainus psulim, you go to Beis Din as soon as possible. So why are we making it dependent on that other Mishnah where it doesn't explicitly give that kind of nafkamina? Let's start over. This statement that was said, this is the proper way it was said. Why did the Chachamim say that a Basula gets married on Wednesday? The reason is, like our Mishnah says, this way if he has a complaint that she's not a Basula, then he can get up in the first thing in the morning and go to Beis Din. So then, if that was all the question would be, then let her get married on Sunday, the answer is there's another detail that our Mishnah did not mention. Shaktu Chachamim al Takanas Bnei Yisrael. The Chachamim were diligent. The Chachamim were very careful about a Takana for Bnei Yisrael, for that Jewish women should be treated properly. That the Chassid will be working on preparing the Suda for 3 days. Echad b'Shabbos, v'Sheni b'Shabbos, v'Shlishi b'Shabbos. Over Ravi, Kainza. And then on Wednesday, he can marry her. So the vote is, in other words, if they got married on Sunday, there wouldn't be 3 days available because one of the days is Shabbos. So what he'd have to prepare Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. By Sunday, the food wouldn't be fresh anymore. Or maybe there's only be the one day to prepare.
Why should he be
because there, yeah. So first of all, in those days, the general minhag was that the chassan was the one who made the suda. But besides that also, Mefarshim talk about actually the Gemara itself sort of hints at this later. That there's a part like this. We learned in Yevamos a concept, we have a chazaka, a person's not going to go to the trouble of making a whole fancy meal and then ruin it. So what happens? If we make the guy have to spend 3 whole days on preparing the wedding, automatically that makes it that, first of all, he's not going to be wanting to go through with the wedding and spend all those expenses and work 3 days on preparing the meal unless he really wants to marry her. So this way it makes there's more likely to be shalom bayis afterwards. If he starts getting cold feet, if he only had 1 day to prepare, it might be very easy for him to get cold feet. After 3 days already, he knows he's committed to it. Kedushin, fine, but he could just give her a guess at that point. But the point is, this way he's committed to going through with it. Yeah. And also, I think the Ritva says a similar idea that this way also it's less likely that he'll end up claiming a tainus psulim. If for whatever reason he doesn't find her a psula, after 3 days, instead of schlepping her to Beis Din and then we have to start bringing Adim and find out what exactly happened, he's more likely to figure, you know what, I spent three days making a suda, you know what, forget about it. She's not a suda, no, I'll live with it.
Any problem with that?
Well, so it depends. According to Rashi, maybe there is a problem, because according to Rashi's explanation that the idea is you want to make sure she wasn't Mizana during after the Kiddushin, then yes, it might be a problem. He doesn't have the option necessarily of saying, you know what, forget about it. Or he was a Kohen and she was an Anna and she was a Nusa, that's also true, yeah.
What about the case of Yigiyaz Man? Is that the way to start a marriage and say the time came that you don't have to give her the donuts now because it was a promise to the money? You don't have to pay those as well. No, you don't have to give her the
So she knew Lachatchila that she's into that she's gonna have a year and that the Tachanas Chacham is to get married on Wednesday. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway. And then over Ravi kind son, then you marry her on Wednesday. The Achshav Shashaninu Shaktu. Now that we have this takana of Shaktu, which by the way, throughout these next couple of blasts, whenever we mention this takana, We're always going to call it by this shorthand Shoktu. The Chachamim were careful about the honor of Bnei Yisrael that they made the Yesaf 3 days. So therefore, in other words, whenever throughout these next couple of days, whenever we mention the concept Shoktu, it's referring to this that we just said Shoktu Chachamim. The Chachamim were careful that a Bas Yisrael should only get married after the Chassan has had 3 days to prepare. So based on that, then when that Mishnah later on in the Masechta says that when the year is up, if they haven't gotten married yet, she is entitled to be supported by him, and she is entitled to eat truma. But he gives man be'echad b'Shabbos. But again, if their year is up on Sunday, since he's not able to marry her, then at that point he's not required to start supporting her yet either. Lefichach, continue then, and Rav Yosef. Now, so far, this is the corrected version of what Rav Yehuda had said in the name of Shmuel. Not to say, in other words, that we sort of ignore the reason in our Mishnah and look at that Mishnah later on about Higiyah's man, but the other way around. The basic reason is our Mishnah. The basic reason why you need Wednesday is our Mishnah. The Mishnah Higiyah's man just explains why Davka Wednesday and not Sunday. Now, Rabbi Yosef now continues with his own logic based on this. Lefichach, therefore, based on what we're saying, Cholahu, if he became sick, Osha Cholsehi, or she became sick, in other words, and they had to push off the wedding, Osha Persin Nida, or she became Nida, and they can't have the chuppah, Enimala Lamazonis, and he also does not afford her yet, because again, same logic Rabbi Yosef is saying, if we're saying that when the year is up on Sunday, then he doesn't have to support her yet because the Chachamim prevented him from marrying her. So the same thing, any kind of onus that would prevent the marriage from happening right now, same thing, then he's still off the hook for the time being. So the question is, what exactly do we mean? So the Poskim have a big machloikus indeed about this whole issue of Chuppas Nida. The real question is, what is Chuppah? We've touched on this a few times in Yevamos. In our Masechta, we'll have it more extensively. What exactly is the definition of Chuppah in Halacha? If you ask any kid, they'll tell you the Chuppah is the canopy with the four poles. That's actually the Rambam holds that Chuppah is when the Chassan brings his wife into his house. So something more like the Yichud rule nowadays. There are Rishonim who say that it's the chuppah as we're familiar with, because the chuppah symbolizes the house, and therefore it's his reshut. He's bringing her into his reshut. The space under the chuppah is his reshut right now, and therefore that's enough. And then there are still other Rishonim who say that chuppah for this purpose means when they veil the kala, what we're going to call in the second parak the hiluma. So at a wedding nowadays, we do all three things. The kala is veiled, and we have a chuppah, and afterwards there's the yichud room, and that way we yotze all the days. Be that as it may, so now comes the question, yes, is a chuppas nidah koine? So to a large extent, it depends on this question of what chuppah is. If chuppah is yichud, where the whole idea of them being in yichud is to make bia possible, then obviously it's not possible if she's nidah. So therefore, chuppas nidah might not be koine. On the other hand, if you say that it's the chuppah with the canopy or the veil, nothing in principle wrong with doing that as a nidah. Then what the Gemara...
What's the issur of your honor? She doesn't have a veil. What's the issur?
There's not an issur, but we're saying, according to some Rishonim, the definition of chuppah, the definition of nichas al chuppah, is that they veil her.
Why?
We'll learn in the second parak, actually, that was the usual, that was one of the standard things that they did to show that the kala is of psula. We'll learn in the second parak in a couple of weeks that if there's edim that she went out with a hinuma with this kind of veil, then you know that she's a psula and that she's entitled to a 200 zuz
ksula. Yeah, but wouldn't there be embarrassment in case she wasn't a psula and she didn't wear a veil?
Okay, so I mean nowadays, as a practical matter, I believe all kalas are veiled. We don't do that particular distinction anymore. But in those days, apparently it was less.
They did make a difference.
In those days, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll learn in the second paragraph. Apparently, it wasn't such an embarrassment. Apparently, it was a normal thing.
No.
Yeah, most of them were solos anyway. Yeah. No. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, so the point is, some Mephoshim disagree over here. Are we talking about that when she's a nidah, you can't do chuppah, it won't be koina? Or do we just mean she doesn't have to do the chuppah while she's a nidah? We consider it enough of an onus, even though it's his choice not to, But, I mean, you could say the same choice when he's sick. He could, you know, he could manage to schlep himself out of bed and go to the wedding, but we don't require him to do that. Same thing. If she's nidda, we don't require him to do the chuppah at that point. If he wants to postpone it, he has a valid reason, and therefore he has a valid reason, ena malav amazonas, to not be supporting her yet, not be responsible for her support yet. In practice, in halacha, we say you do try to avoid chuppas nidda. But if it happens, it happens, and you, I think most of us are familiar with the basic things that you do. Then, I mean, the chassan has to be quite careful then when he's putting on the ring to not actually touch her finger. In the yichud room, they have to have the door open or somebody in there with them, and at night they have to stay separated. Each one has they have a little boy and a little girl in the room to be shomrim. So far, the Gemara had said this as a statement. Rabbi Yosef had said as a statement, based on this, that Shmuel is saying that an onus, such as the fact that you can't get married on Sunday, you have to get married on Wednesday, is enough reason that Eina Malalam is onus, and therefore he said, based on that logic, then the same thing is true if he got sick or she got sick or she became nidda. So that's version number one, is Rabbi Yosef said that as a statement. The Ikka Deboilam Aboya. A different version was that Rabbi Yosef, or the Amaroyim in general, asked it as a question. Chala hu mahu. The first question was, what happens if he becomes sick? Do we say hasam taima mayimishum da onis? Do we say in the case of Sunday he's an onus, he's not able to get married because of the takanas hachamim? Well then, v'hacham nami ha'onis. Well then, if he's sick, he's also an onus. Oydoma hasam onis patakanta jakinu le'rabanan. Or maybe the difference is there the onus is something that he can't possibly override. It's a takanas hachamim. And in fact, Tosfos uses the expression, given what we said before about Shokdu, that the Chachamim Davka wanted there should be 3 days of preparation before the wedding, if he gets married any other day, he would be called Avayonah. He would be called somebody who's over on a Takanas Chachamim, which is a pretty serious thing. But if he's sick, it's not something against the Chachamim. Yes, physically he's not able to, but it's different than something that he's not allowed to do.
What has he done wrong with this?
No, we're not saying he did anything wrong. We're saying, in other words, that maybe the difference is that if it's Sunday, then it's a Takanas Chachamim that prevents him from marrying her. Therefore, fine, he's potter from supporting her. But you could argue, if he's sick, you could argue maybe basically you could...
Maybe not.
I mean, on the other hand, you could argue maybe... It's an onus. Yes, but on the other hand, why is it her fault? Why should she have to lose out because of it? Is more the point. No, v'im tim tzalayim. If you're
going,
that's the next question. V'im tim tzalayim cholahu malalam azonis called sehimahu. Fine. If you're going to say that yes, even when he's sick, and the wedding is pushed off because of that, he still has to start supporting her. What happens if she became sick? Is it motzi omala hanah ka'imna? Is it that he's able to say, look, you know what? I'm all ready to have the wedding. You're sick. We can't have the wedding. I shouldn't have to suffer because of that. Or maybe not. Maybe she has the right to tell him, effectively, basically, it's your bad luck. It's like your nistach v'sadeu literally means your field got washed away. It's your mazel that I got sick. It's your tough luck, basically. Even though, physically, we're not able to get married right now because I'm not well, nevertheless, you still are responsible to support me. The Ramban, by the way, talks about a couple of ideas why wouldn't we say the other way around? Why doesn't he have the right to claim to her it's your mazel?
Yeah,
what? Why doesn't the husband have the right to claim back to her that in either case it's your mazel? So the Ramban himself says, because you see even when he's sick, he doesn't have the right to claim it's your mazel. He can't say to her, nistach fasadeo. He has to accept that it's his mazel. So by the same token, if she's sick also, we should argue, but maybe not, that nistach fasadeo. But there's no basis for him to claim. Put it this way, that Ramban says there's no basis when he's sick for him to claim that it's your mazel. Either she could claim it's when she's sick, it's my mazel, or it's yours, but not vice versa. If he's sick, he has no right to claim it's your mazel. And the Ramban also brings that some people wanted to explain the difference is what happens if they're sick. All that it means is they're having to postpone period v'rivia. Fine, period v'rivia is a mitzvah only on the man, not on the woman. So therefore, it's more logical to say that if it's his mazel, the Eibishter is preventing him from doing his mitzvah rather than her, since she doesn't really have the mitzvah anyway. The Ramban says I don't really like that shot, but anyway. Okay, v'im timtza loyma omri lo nistach v'sadehu. Okay, let's say that she does have the right to tell him nistach v'sadehu. It's your tough luck. Pirsa nidu mahu. Then the next question is, what happens if she became nida? So, let's break that down. B'shas vesta lo tiboyla. No, nida is not the same as sick necessarily. So, b'shas vesta lo tiboyla. If it's the time of her vest, it's the normal time that was expected that she would become a nida, then there's no question. Then obviously she can't tell him nistach v'sadeu. She can't tell him it's your tough luck. She can't tell him it's your tough luck because we knew that it's expected that she's going to get her period around this time. The question would be, what if it was not the expected time of her vest? Do we say that since it's out of season, then yes, it's sort of the equivalent of her becoming sick, and she can say, nistach v'sadehu, it's your tough luck. Or the fact is, when it comes to nida, most women in those days had a regular vest, which is, by the way, a major difference between then and now. Nowadays, it's actually very rare for a woman to have a vest kavua, but in those days, apparently, it was a norm. But even in those days, you had women who changed their vest to end up who have an irregular vest. So therefore, kishas vesta dami. So therefore, you could argue that even out of time, even out of the expected time, still should be considered kishas vesta. He should know basically at any time it could happen. So according to this version, then we had a series of questions, and each one we answered with imtim tzolayma, which the Gaonim in general take as a rule that when we have a series of questions like that with imtim tzolayma, that we accept the imtim tzolayma, we accept that as a halacha for that particular question, and so according to that, all we're left with is the last question at this point about pirsa nida. So poshit rabachoy answers it. So the Tosfos points out this expression poshit rabachoy is unusual. As the Tosfos quotes from Rashbam in Bava Basra, where there's also a similar expression, that the Rav Achoy over here, the Rashbam says, is actually one of the Gaonim. He says, Rav Achoy Gaon Sha'asa Sh'iltos. Tosfos themselves disagrees with that, because we're going to have Rav Ashi disagreeing with him. So the Rashbam says that's why he uses this expression, Poshit. Elsewhere he uses Parich. He has like a strange expression of his own, because he lived much later than the other Amoraim. Tosfos says, I don't like that pshat. We see here Rav Ashi is answering to him, and Rav Ashi is definitely one of the Amoraim. So no, it's just, you know, each Amora has their own unique lashon. We find in different places in Shas. There are various history books that point out that even according to the Rashbam, it's certainly not the Rav Achoy Gaon who made Sh'iltos. He was one in the middle of the time of the Gaon. He was like 300 years after the Gemara was finished. There's no question he's not the one being quoted in our Gemara over here. So various history books want to say that actually, What the Rashbam meant to say is that this is Rav Achoy, one of the Rabbanan Tzivuroi. So a generation or two after Rav Ashi. But still, they were still adding little bits and pieces here and there to the Gemara, like here, to fan for a question that up till then had been left open. Later on, one of the copyists saw the name of Rav Achoy, and the famous Rav Achoy in Jewish history is Rav Achoy Goyen, who wrote Sh'iltos, so they added in that line. Anyway, Poshet Rav Achoy, so Rav Achoy answers, Let's go back to that Mishnah that we quoted before. He gives Mandalay Nisu, who said if the time came and they were not married, Ochlis Mishaloiva, Ochlis Vitruma, then the wife is at that point. One second. Ochlis Mishaloiva, Ochlis Vitruma. She's entitled to be supported by her husband, and her fiancé, rather, and her chassan, and she's entitled to Truma, Midar Isa. Now, Loinosu Loikotani. Now, the Mishnah does not use the expression Loinosu, which means that the husband postponed things. He didn't want. He decided to push off the marriage. Doesn't say that. Loinisu, meaning they were not married, which implies, in other words, that the ikuv, the delay, was due to something on her side. Now, one second, we have to consider. Hey, chidomi, what kind of delay on her side are we talking about? What kind of delay on her side are we talking about? If she is delaying the wedding, if she's saying, you know what, I'm not ready yet, I've got cold feet or whatever, then why indeed? Yeah, of course she doesn't have any right to be supported by him yet or to eat truma. Obviously we must be talking about an onus like the kind we were talking about. She became sick or she became nidda or whatever. And we see that she is allowed, that she is entitled to be supported by him and to eat truma. So yes, that would answer the question. Whether, even if she's sick, she can tell him nistach v'sadeo, even if she had her period, she can tell him nistach v'sadeo. Yes, as long as v'loy nisu, even if the delay in the marriage was due to something that happened with her, as long as it wasn't voluntary on her part, then yes, then she's entitled. But Amar Rav Ashi, la'olam emalach kol onsa la'achla, not necessarily. You could actually say that in any case of ones, she's not entitled to support. Ud kam akvi inhu, and the case is actually that the case is actually that one or the other of them is voluntarily delaying it. Ubedinu di boile lemisne lo nasu, and if that's the case, then by rights the expression should have been lo nasu, that the husband did not marry the wife. The idea to turn a reisha b'diti, but since the first part of that same Mishnah starts talking about her, because the Mishnah begins over there, noisin l'besula shnei masa chodesh, that a besula is given 12 months between the kedushin and the nisuin to prepare. Tananami sefer b'diti, so the sefer also speaks of her not getting married or not getting married, even though Rav Ashi is saying the same din would indeed apply if the delay was, the same din would apply if there was any kind of delay for any reason.
For any reason.
Except for the reason that we said before about Sunday, where that we said and that's in fact the maskana, that in fact is the halacha, that in all these cases where it's delayed for any reason beyond their control, then he's not required to support her yet. Now, Amar Rava.
Also, if it would be that depending on him,
well, she's only getting married to one husband, so. Okay. Oh, you're right. You're right. Well, no, Tosfos is using that to explain something else. No, that's going back to Rav Achoi. When Rav Achoi says that you see, the Mishnah says lo nisu and not lo nosu, how do they know the Mishnah is not written within the Kodesh? And the answer is because if it meant nosu, then the Mishnah would continue in Lashon Rabbah, Baruch Hu's Mishalahem. The fact that it uses Lashon Yachid, Baruch Hu's Mishaloi, implies that the previous phrase of it has to be nisu, that they, the women, were not married. But again, that's according to Rav Achoi's explanation. According to Rav Ashi, it doesn't really matter. Omar Rava, Ula Inyan Gittin Eina came. But Rava says, you know what, when it comes to Gittin, this same rule does not apply. Meaning, we just said that if there's an onus that causes the wedding to be postponed, then he's not responsible to give her his onus yet. Now, Rava is saying the same thing is not true with a get. If a person gives a get, if a husband gives a get to his wife on a certain condition, let's say that I do something within a certain amount of time, as we'll have soon an example, if I don't come back home within a certain amount of time, even if he was prevented by an onus from coming back, the get is still chal.
Even if it was
a national. Yeah. Alma kasava rava ain onus begitin, which goes to show that rava holds there's no onus in gittin.
There's a difference between
Tanoi Ksuba and Gittin, yeah. Menolei l'Rovah. So the question is, where is Rava getting that from? Ilema Mahadetnan, can we say that Rava is getting it from the following Mishneh and Gittin? Hareza Gittich im Lebosim Ikanvad Shnei Masachodesh. If the husband gives his wife a get and says, this is your get on condition that I don't, this get will take effect if I don't return within 12 months. And he dies during the 12 months, ain't a get, then we say it's not a get, which implies mesu de ain't a get, hachola hareza get, which implies why is it not a get? Because he's dead. And ain't get, ma'acham nisa. You can't have once he's dead, the get is not shayach.
But if he died.
Right. The implication is if he became sick, if he couldn't come back because he was sick, he was laid up in the hospital, hareza get. Evidently it is a get. Now, that's an oinus. Why did he not show up at the end of the 12 months? Because he's laid up. And nevertheless, the Mishnah say it seems to be implying that it's a good get. The question is, maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah actually means to say that even if he became sick, no matter what reason it is that he didn't come at the end of 12 months, whether because he's dead or just because he's sick, then it's not a get. because we would say yesh onus begitin. We would say that when he said, if I come back within 12 months, meaning if I'm able to come back within 12 months, but he gufa kamash malanda and get la'achamisa. And what would be the chiddush of the Mishnah? The chiddush would be precisely that idea, that and get la'achamisa. Now, what's the chiddush of that? I mean, why would we think a get could be in effect after death? Mephoshim explained, because why anyway would this husband be giving his wife a get to take effect conditionally in the future? The pashtus is because we just finished with Yuvamus. The pashtus, they're childless. He doesn't want that his wife is going to have to have a zika and have to worry about the yibum and chalitza, and what if the yavam doesn't want to, and et cetera, et cetera. So he gives her a get in order to pass to her from that kind of thing. So you might have thought, yeah, you know what? After he dies, the zika is in effect, which is sort of a continuation of his marriage. We learned previously in Yavamis that that's why Minatora, the Yavam doesn't even have to do kiddushin with the Yavama. We had a few different things that flow from this idea that when the Yavam does Yibum, it's a continuation of the previous marriage. So you would think maybe yes, maybe in that case yes, get lachamis, and maybe the get can take effect now and break that zika. But that would be what the Mishnah is telling us, that no. So how can you prove from that Mishnah that there's a difference between chala or mes, between he became sick or he died?
Well, what's the Torah to say, yes, get lachamisa?
That's the smarter, because we would say, when is the get lachamisa? If it's coming to break a zika. If it's coming to break the zika that she had with her yavam because she was previously married to him. The answer is, you don't need that. You don't need this part of the Mishnah to tell us that. And get la'achamisa al-tanei le'resha. You have the first part of that same Mishnah in Gittin that already teaches us that din. The Mishnah says, ha'reza gittich im meisi. This is your get, which will take effect if I die. Or ha'reza gittich mecholi zeh. Or he says, this is your get, which will take effect if I don't recover from this illness. He's a shchiv merah, he's on his deathbed. Or ha'reza gittich la'achamisa, or here's your get, and it'll take effect after I die, lo yama klum. Then what he said doesn't mean anything, because we see clearly from that ain't get la'achamisa. So we don't need the second half of the Mishnah to be teaching us the same thing. If the second half of the Mishnah is telling us a case of mess, then obviously it is in order to distinguish between mess and chola. And that might be Rava's source, therefore. That would be Rava's source, therefore, if he's dead, then if he's dead, it's not a get because ain't get lachamisa. But if he became sick and he didn't come after the 12 months, then it is a get because ain't onus begitting. You don't accept a claim, you know what, it was an onus, I meant to come back at the end of the 12 months and I was prevented.
But she's holding the get.
Yeah.
She's only holding the get.
So what?
It's only a chal when he comes.
Yeah, exactly. The question is, and that's not necessarily a proof, because you could say that the sefer that we were just quoting, the Im Le'Bosim Yikanimat Shnei Masa Chodesh, maybe that part of the Mishnah, La Puki Mid Rabbi Seinu, maybe that part is needed to tell us not like Rabbi Seinu, the Tanya, because the Braita continues, but Rabbi Seinu Hitirua Linase, that Rabbi Seinu did allow her to get married, meaning without Chalitza. So this is in the case of Imur Vasi Mekan Bar Shnei Masa Chodesh. So the Mishnah is telling us that if he died during the 12 months, then we say Einu Get. But Rabbi Seinu say, yes, it is a valid Get. So maybe the Mishnah is having to tell us the Din, to tell us not like Rabbi Seinu. But you still couldn't prove from that there'd be a difference between died or became sick. And the Gemara goes in, by the way, Vamrinan Man Rabbi Seinu. Who are these Rabbi Seinu who are arguing with the Mishnah? Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Beit Din of the Sharu Mishcha. This is the Beit Din that committed oil. The Gemara mentions in Avodah Zarah, there's a long sugya about it, so that there was a takana of the Chachamim, that just like we're all familiar with, that you're not allowed to eat Bishul Akum, Chalav Akum, Pas Akum, etc. There was at one time, there was a Gzeira on Shemen Akum as well. Olive oil that was made by Goyim without Jews supervising it. The Gemara explains over there that it goes all the way back to Daniel, when he and Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were taken to Nebuchadnezzar's palace. So they came up with these various zeiros to prevent assimilation. What happened? The Gemara explains over there. Eventually, there came a point. Well, the Babli explains it. The Yerushalmi also has a somewhat different explanation of it. There came a point when the Chachamim realized it's getting very hard for Jews to keep this. The Yerushalmi in particular mentions there came a point the oil-producing areas of Eretz Yisrael were mostly in Goyish hands. So it was getting very dangerous for Jews to go there and supervise the oil. And oil was something they needed a lot more in those days than now. They used it for lamps. Okay, for that you wouldn't need a hechsher, but they used it for salad dressing, and they used it for various kinds of sauces, and they used it for rubbing on their skin, etc. So it was going to be a real hardship if you had to keep on doing this. So the Chachamim also figured out, you know what? Ever since the time of Daniel, all these hundreds of years from Daniel until now, there's never been a time when this Gzeira was pushed to Berei Batzibur. There's never been a time when most of the Tzibur accepted it on themselves. Therefore, we have a basis to be matir it. And they were. The Beis Din that was after this was the Beis Din of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So it became, it was a very famous thing, that this is the Beis Din that was matir oil. And therefore, any place in Shas, when we want to identify these Rabbi Seinu, we always, the standard way of identifying them is, and you should know, they're the ones who gave out this very famous psak about the oil. Derech Agav, but...
Rabbi
Yehuda Nasiya. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So distinguishing from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, his grandfather. Incidentally, by the way, as a little historical tidbit, even though the Gemara mentions over there that the Zera was never poshed to Berei Batzibur, there is Josephus mentions in one of the books of his history that we find a time when some very posh to Yidden were careful about this about the Sakana. He mentions that Alexander the Great had Jewish soldiers in his army. And one of the part of the standard pay for a soldier in those days was that they wouldn't just pay them all in money. There was a shortage of coins. So a lot of times they would pay them in goods. Among the goods they would pay them with was oil. The Jewish soldiers turned it down based on the Takana, because the Takana was still in effect. Alexander the Great is a 100 years or so after Daniel. So finally, when he got word of it, and finally he had to issue to his generals a special army regulation that all the Jewish soldiers are to be paid in the equivalent amount of money instead of the oil.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so that's Rabbi Seinu. Now, why do Rabbi Seinu say that? I mean, after all, the fact is the guy's dead. How can the get possibly be in effect? Sabri lo k'Rabbi Yosi, because they hold like Rabbi Yosi. He says that the date on the shtar indicates when it's supposed to be in effect. What you write a date at the top of the shtar, what's the point of it? Rabbi Yossi is saying, really, what you mean by that is to say that the get is actually meant to take effect as of now. So you're making it's not a get that you're saying I'm writing it now and it's going to take effect next year. It's rather, I'm writing this get now, and depending on what happens next year, it will take effect for Mafreya as of now, as of the date written on the top of the shtar. So then that would be fine. So if he dies sometime during that 12 months, then he too will enough it, and the get has taken effect, retroactive to when he wrote it. So Tosfos points out, I mean, in the case of you could use that rule in general, because most shtaris, there's no requirement, la halacha, to write a date. No, because the Chachamim would hold that no. The Chachamim would say, Zmanesh Ashtar is not Mechiyach Olav. Rashi explains that it's Machloikus in Bava Basra. We have a case in Bava Basra that if a person wants to sign over his Nechasim to his son before he dies, but he still wants to be able to use them until he dies, he doesn't want to sign them over unconditionally. So what does he do? So the Tanna Kamma there says, Chachamim there say that he has to write Mehayoyim Ulachamisa. He has to explicitly write in the shtar. This matana takes effect as of now and Laachamisa, meaning Laachamisa will take effect retroactively to now. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says you don't need that. The very fact that there's a date at the top of the shtar shows that it was meant to take effect as of then. So that would be the machloikas then between
the machloikas.
That's the machloikas. That's the point over here. In the case of this get, where the guy says, "Im le'bosim kan v'ad shnei mas chodesh u'meis," the Tanakama, the Tana in the Mishnah there in Gittin is saying, he's dead. The get was only supposed to take effect after 12 months. He didn't write in it mehayoyim l'achamisa. So therefore, no good. Ain't get l'achamisa. Whereas Rabbi Seinu would hold with Rabbi Yossi, they would hold like Rabbi Yossi does, that the date on the get indicates when it's supposed to take effect. So Tosfos asks the question, I mean, a get anyway has to have a date in it. Mela, other kind, mela, shtar matana, for example, there's no requirement, la halacha, to write a date in it. So fine, if you write a date in it, it shows you're doing it in order to show when it takes effect. A get, mitakana tachamim, has to have a date in it. So how are you proving anything from that? So Tosfos says, yes, but if that was the only reason you were writing the date in the get, you wouldn't have to write the actual date, the specific date, the 15th of Shvat Tavshin Ayin Hay. You could write the month. You could write Shvat Tavshin Ayin Hay, and that would be enough to be Yotze the Takanas Chachamim, or even the year. The fact that you're writing an exact date, Chesvav Shvat Tavshin Ayin Hay, according to Rabbi Yossi, is good enough for us to say that you mean for it to take effect as of that date.
If you don't have a date, you
can
be
mezana
in between.
So the reason for the takana is shami yichap al bachachosa, because you might be mezana in between. But Tosfos apparently is learning that it's actually gemara in Gittin that as long as you have a partial date in there, that's enough. Yes, in theory, she could have been mezana during those couple of weeks, during some other time in Shvat. But that already went up. So you could say the same thing if it's written on a date. You know, it's dated Tetzvav Shvat, and it was written 4 o'clock in the afternoon and 9 o'clock in the morning. She was mezana. How would you know? I mean, Tosfos gives another possible answer that you could post-date the get. Anyway. Okay, so we don't yet have a proof for what Rava is saying, because, yes, that Mishnah in Gittin, which seems to be drawing a distinction between Mes and Chola, not necessarily is the Mishnah actually making that distinction. The Mishnah is telling us that Mes is not a get, to tell us not like Rabbi Seinu, who says that it is. The Elam is safer. So no, maybe Rava is learning his din from the safer of that Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, Me'achshav im le'bosi mitan vad yud b'schodesh. If he says the get takes effect as of now, if I haven't come back from within 12 months, and then there's no question, even the Chachamim would agree that it takes effect immediately. Umet b'sech shnei mas chodesh, raise a get, and then if he dies within the 12 months, then it's a get. Because at the end of the 12 months, he didn't come. And we're assuming mes v'hua din l'chola. But Pashtus then, when we say that he became sick...
He gave her the get
in Shvat of Tavshin Ayin Dalet.
Yes.
He said, if I don't come back within 12 months by Shvat Tavshin Ayin Hay, then this get will take effect me'achshav, as of now, as of Tavshin Ayin Dalet. So now, sometime in the middle, in Elul Tavshin Ayin Dalet, he dies. Comes Shvat Tavshin Ayin Hay, obviously he's not showing up, he's dead. And the get is in effect.
The get is a get.
Oh,
so you don't got to be miyavim.
Right. So the assumption that the Gemara is saying, the assumption the Gemara is making at this point, which is the opposite of the assumption before, is that if the Mishnah is mentioning mess, it means any kind of onus. So it uses mess as the ultimate onus. That even though there's the ultimate onus over there, we don't say, you know what, it's not my fault I didn't come back after 12 months. Get shouldn't be in effect. No, it is. But what did Lachola? So then the same din should be true if he became sick. The answer is not necessarily. Dula mes davka, dula nichola, de tipo kama yava. Maybe not necessarily. What's the whole reason he's writing the get? Is because he doesn't want, and making it lamafreya, because he doesn't want her to have to deal with the yavam. So maybe he davka wants that it should all, that he davka wants, yes, he including this tonight, that if I don't come back because I'm dead, then it should be in effect, because that's the whole point he's writing it in the first place. He may not want it to be chal if he becomes sick. Because so what? I'm sick, but afterwards I'll recover, and I want to stay married. So you still don't have a proof one way or the other to Rava. Ela meha. So no, we can prove it from the following story. Dahuda Avalahu. There was a person who had said to the people, he'd had a get written for his wife, and he told them, Ela yosinu mikan van plosnia. I mean, if I don't come back during the next 30 days, lahave gita, then the get should be in effect.
When? By the way.
Pashtus at that time, at the end of the 30 days. Wait. Also, the Sof Slosim Yoimin, now he came at the end of the 30 days, but Upaske Mabra, but the river prevented him from crossing. Mabra, Rashi says, means a ferry. So the ferry was on the wrong side of the river. He couldn't get across. Other Mephoshim explained that Mabra means a bridge, so maybe the bridge was out of commission or whatever. Anyway, it's an onus. Amalok, he calls out across the river. He called, Chazuda Asoy, look, I've come. Shmuel says, no, that's not considered that he came. Yes, if he does not manage to make it across that river by the end of the day, the get will be a get. If she wants to remarry at that point, Gizel says, hey.
Hey,
so therefore we see, Einon is forgiven. The question is, V'dilma onsa d'shchiach shayni, maybe it's different in the case of a very common kind of onus. It's very common that the ferry is not there when you want it. It's very common that a bridge breaks down. just keeping the body like last noon, you've asked me. After all, he could have made it tonight. He could have included, as long as he's mentioning 30 days, he could have said 30 days if I'm able to get the, if I'm able to catch the ferry. He didn't. You'd ask it an option. So you could argue that he made, that he messed things up for himself. Yes, it's his fault. He should have included that. And if not, you can't consider that an onus because he should have kept that possibility in mind. So Tosfos actually distinguishes between the three different there's a few different levels of onusim. There's no question, Tosfos says, that that if, for example, he got eaten by a lion, that's an onus de lo shchiyah. That's a very rare onus. You can't expect him to have had that in mind. You can't expect him to have said, if I don't come back within 30 days, if I come back within 30 days and haven't been eaten by a lion. On the other hand, though, then you have, I mean, that he should die is sort of a middle level onus. It's not common, but it's not rare either. That he shouldn't be able to cross the river. That's much more common. Yeah, that you. In those days, I guess, yes. You know, I mean, whatever, you know.
But in this case, I can't change my mind. Can't he get to Adim and he does not get screaming?
So to be mevatel the get, we touched on this in Yevamos, that actually, but Takanat Chachamim, once he sent the get, he cannot be mevatel it. Bidaraisa, yes, he would be able to, but that raises the possibility for all kinds of mischief. He could send a get to his wife and then be mevatel it. She thinks it's kosher a get. She gets married, and later on he brings the edim and all her children are mamzerim, etc. So because of that, the Mamir Azakim made a takana that you can't be mevatel a get after you sent it to her. How that works, we talked about before. Afkinu Rabbanan leKiddushin. We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. That the Rabbanan undo the Kiddushin leMafreya in order for it not to be an issue. But he doesn't have that option at this point. So what the Gemara is distinguishing over here is that maybe you could argue that the onus of him dying or becoming sick is somewhat rare, whereas the onus of not being able to cross the river is more common. So yes, that we would expect he has to be able to include that in his tanai, or else we say it's his fault. As opposed to if he became sick, maybe you could argue, yes, onus begitin. I didn't expect I'm going to become sick during this time, so sick that I'm not going to be able to travel and get back here. So therefore, the get shouldn't be in effect. So we still are lacking a proof. We're still lacking a source for what Rava said. And we'll leave the continuation of the discussion for tomorrow, Baz Hashem.
Toyo.